Sunny skies Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Richard DeWetting at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 85 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And not down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Thursday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are ready for a loaded day here on the show. We've got a day full of topics that we'll dive into, and then it ranges. First, I do want to start here, though, at least. Big shout out to Martin Houston, man. He had Coach DeBoer join his show this morning, and I'm going to be honest with you, I did not catch it live, but I saw it this morning, and I did get to listen to pretty much the whole thing, the playback. And great interview. And if Martin doesn't mind, we're going to play a good bit of that here throughout the show. Now, we do have Brandon Clear join us. We'll have Adam join us. And the timing for Adam joining us is actually perfect here. Unfortunately, I mean, I don't want to – not looking forward to what we'll be talking about, but I'm sure you guys have an idea. You know, we have an official lawyer on the show, and we have one of our guys that's been in the news for something that's probably not looking too good, but I think, you know, it's something that everybody's talking about. We have a legal expert that's joining us today, so I think it's – probably fitting that we'll definitely kind of get his opinion on that. As much as I don't really want to do that, but I guess that's kind of part of the job, Reed. I feel like you kind of have to at this point.
Yeah, I was going to say, and there's no better day than really today after what today. You know, we've been hearing.
Yeah, and we'll get to that at some point. Again, very, very unfortunate when you see these things, Reed, but I guess you just got to use them as learning opportunities and then just pray that everything is, you know, handled in the correct manner and just pray for the individuals on both sides and just kind of go from there. That being said, we're clearly discussing the news about former Alabama cornerback Terrion Arnold that we'll dive into that a little bit deeper when our official lawyer, Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law Education Advocacy, he'll join us today on Thursday. And I'm sure we'll have all the latest in terms of, you know, what this might look like, because I know a lot of people are very curious, because if you've read headlines, you've seen there's some very serious things that are, you know, coming along with some of these charges. So we'll discuss that with Adam at the top of the hour. But of course, back to our original talking point and shout out, Martin Houston, man, had Coach DeBoer and his sons, excuse me, Martin and his sons. They did a great job, man. Asked some really good football questions. They talked about, you know, of course, everything that we've always been discussing, right? The running game and the team. They even got to ask him about recruiting. So we got to hear kind of an update on their outlook. And again, you kind of have two parts of the fan base kind of going back and forth when it comes to recruiting. And I think Martin was the first one to have Coach DeBoer, I guess publicly at least, kind of answer that question. So a big shout out to Martin, man. Phenomenal job. I shot him a text message and thought it was a great interview. So and we'll play some clips of that. I'll try to just, instead of listen to the whole thing, because I think they were on for about 30 minutes. It seemed like it was a longer interview. We'll hear the recruiting talk, the running game talk. He talked about Coach Clem. The additions to the coaching staff, some of those philosophies there. Talked about some players individually, some of the guys from the transfer portal, their impact, kind of what he's seen out of them. So a lot of the things that you know, everybody's been asking about, talking about, and it's a little bit more of a recent update with it. And he gave Martin a lot of really good answers. So we'll discuss that here on the show as well. Tomorrow for a free-for-all Friday, just a reminder, we'll have Clint Lamb joining us at the end of yesterday's show. We started talking a little bit about maybe our top 10 most important players. Maybe we'll dive into that a little bit. If we have time, I don't know if we will since we have so much to talk about, but of course we'll do it tomorrow with Clint, who has, I guess he's the originator of that whole segment. So we'll get his thoughts. I think he's up to like maybe the top 20. At least he should be by tomorrow. So we'll discuss those players, his thoughts on it, why he ended up electing to go that route and so forth. And maybe we'll give ours as well at some point in the show. But like I mentioned, we'll talk about Coach DeBoer. We'll talk about that whole situation that's come up. And Reed, it definitely is definitely a tough one. And I don't know if you saw back a couple months ago, this had come up right around the whole Terrion situation. And they had mentioned him being connected or involved in something like this. And I know his representation came out. There was no charges filed. But what it looks like is it's kind of circle back, just because it kind of died down in the media, it seems like, you know, Florida and their prosecution, everybody behind the scenes were still doing their due diligence. And I guess ultimately they officially found enough to charge him. And like I said, when you see some of those, I guess, things that are in these headlines, I mean, I was seeing stuff like as much as like life in prison, man. I mean, which is, that's, it's not, it's a little bit different. I know we've covered like the Aiden Holloway here on the show, and Adam was 100% spot on with kind of how that would go in terms of agreeing to a plea, doing a program, and hopefully things kind of working out that way, which that's pretty much exactly what happened to a T. But this one, I don't know, it's a little bit different, Reed, and hopefully Adam can kind of paint us in this direction. I sent the article to him last night just so he saw it. I'm sure he was going to see it anyways, but I wanted him to have all the time last night to kind of read up on it, and that way he can kind of give us the, I guess, I don't know, lay the foundation for kind of what this process could be like. Because, I mean, again, it's a very, very serious issue that that's come up here, and definitely not fun to talk about, but I feel like it's kind of important to do so. Anything else I'm missing? Because I know those are the two driving forces, man. A lot of, you know, big updates from Martin's interview, and then that, of course, I think that's kind of taking everybody by storm. I know we talked a little bit about some of these updates coming, the 5 for 5. That was another question, by the way, that they were able to ask Coach DeBoer, and he did a nice job explaining kind of how that could have an effect on things. But anything else big, Reed? I know the World Cup's going on still. I think we got a game this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. U.S. Team U.S. is looking really good. I think they got a chance this time around. I mean, any other updates?
Yeah, USA, if I'm correct, they play Turkey tonight. I believe it's a night sweat game around 9 p.m.-ish, but don't quote me on the time. It's right around that range. They've already locked down their group. They've solidified themselves in the knockout round, so if I had to guess, I don't think they're going to be playing many starters. If they're going to be playing really any, I think just a goalkeeper, because I don't feel like Matt Freeze really has been tested too much. And so maybe to get him some more reps of getting his confidence up before we head to the knockout stage.
Yeah, I'll definitely – I need to get back into watching these World Cup games. There's been some good games, by the way. I've kind of been like dipping in and out. I'll watch a game or so, then I dip out and – I'm wasting opportunity, because I mean, I can, you know, there's a lot of Spanish announcing for these games, at least for the Hulu package that I have, and it's a great way for me to kind of kill two birds with one stone, watch some sports and also practice my Spanish. So I need to get back on that. Maybe I'll tune back in soon, especially now that things have kind of died down. So NBA draft, we already talked about LeBaron Filon and whatnot. Now we're kind of just in those kind of final moments. You know, I listened to Coach DeBoer this morning. I'm pretty sure they're in that period where like the first half of the summer program's kind of winding down. I know they finished recruiting, staff's about to go on vacation. Then really, Reed, if you think about it, we're really just about a month away from training camp, right? And then you got SEC Media Days coming up here shortly. So we got another week or two of these kind of like dead periods, I would say, which have not been anything short of, I mean, there's been plenty of talking points, but really, I mean, we're about to be in the thick of it, Reed. I mean, can you believe that? Training camp's just, I mean, a little over 1 month away. Kind of crazy to think about that, because it feels like we just finished spring.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Yeah, I feel like A-Day was just what? Like, I mean, granted, I know it was over 2 months ago, but it felt like it was a couple weeks ago. So we're flying through the dog days of summer here, which is great. You always kind of wonder how that's going to go. It's just not enough to talk about sometimes, but clearly our plate has been full, and it's looking like that today. 11:30, we got Brandon Clear. We've got Adam at the top of the hour again. Some big news coming out in regards to former Alabama cornerback Terrion Arnold. Not my favorite thing to talk about, but it's kind of all over the place. And ironically, our lawyer is set to join us today at the top of the hour. So we'll discuss that with him at the top of the hour and get all the details and the legal, I guess advice or just expertise from him at that point. And of course, we always welcome you guys in on the action. 205-342-9904 is the number if you guys want to get on the program. You can always join us on the streams at The Miller's Edge on YouTube, at The Miller's Edge on X. Completely free. Just come hang out. Just drop a like if you guys don't mind. Subscribe if you enjoy. Then come hang out in the chat, and we'll definitely get y'all's questions, comments, and concerns. And, yeah, have a good time right here on The Miller's Edge.
to invite friends and family over to kick off the party. Start celebrating with low prices guaranteed at the Home Depot. Prices may vary by store. Exclusions apply. See homedepot.com/pricematch for details.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
It's quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611. 9611.
Your home for Alabama Crimson Tide football. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's start with some football talk. Reed again. Big shout out to our guy Martin Houston here on the station. He had Coach DeBoer join him this morning, him and his sons, and really good interview, man. They got to ask him a number of things. Really, they hit all the good points, man. I feel like they had all the great questions. They had a lot of good football questions in there, and we got some really good updates. So I want to play a couple pieces from that, and I know we got Brandon coming up, so I'll try to scoop down this interview to the end. I know he asked him about the recruiting, right? And I want to start there because that's a big topic. We'll dive into the football aspect of the interview, of course, as well. But that one, I think I remember kind of where it was. It was a little bit, I think it was one of the last questions. But without further ado, let's jump to that part directly. Coach DeBoer joined Martin Houston this morning, and I think it was the final question he was asked about recruiting, right? And kind of where they're at right now. They're playing there, and this is what head coach Kalen DeBoer had to say.
A couple nights ago, and it was brought up that we're, I think, the second most hated program.
Well, that's another point he made, but that is true. I think we are probably one of the top hated programs. Here we go.
And defensively, you got to have a coaching staff, and that continuity for them is important. So we aren't coaching coaches to know things. We're coaching the players because it's what they know that matters. And so That's what we got to get to, I think, is just you step on the field. It's like, man, you know you're going to make that catch. You know you're going to make that block. That tackle's going to happen. And, yeah, I mean, again, everyone's human, but that high level of success, when we walk into the stadium, you can almost feel it. You know, when just you might not be there, you might be present, but, man, you can feel like almost that the Crimson Tide are doing the walk of champions right now, and you're, you know, 80 miles away, you know, on your way to the game or whatever it might be, or you're tailgating, you know, five blocks down the road, you know. So that's the way I felt it before. You know, you come into town and like people don't see you, but they can feel you, and that's the way I want it to be.
Well,
Ray Martin.
Yeah, that's right. That's
awesome. Program. You know, people know,
Yeah, we need to make sure, Coach, that after 2026 that we're number one. So, hey, Coach, as we close, we've asked you all these questions. Thank you. Went longer than anticipated, but thank you so much for your kindness and your time. I would love to give you the opportunity, if there's anything you would like to say to calm the fans' nerves, whether it's about recruiting and this class or anything else that you may want to say to the maniacs that's listening right now.
I guess we're never comfortable. We're just continuing to push. And we have to do things, make decisions, and sometimes they're not popular as far as like just having to go a certain route with things, but you take what you have and you maximize it. And I feel, you know, again, I guess probably the recruiting piece, you know, that you brought up earlier, I just think about if we were just loading up with a whole new freshman class, someone's got to leave, you know, and all these guys that we've invested time in, you know, there's going to be attrition. You got to plan for that. And there's going to be guys that just are getting beat out and they want to go find a place. Now, I think that's what football, you know, college experience is all about. That's why I'll never say I regret my NAI days. I mean, it was the best because I got a chance to play, you know. I mean, I'd love to walk out of Bryant-Denny Stadium. That would have been amazing. But, man, I love what I had the opportunity to do. And so we want to keep developing these guys, you know, keep working with what we have. And hopefully our retention is what it is. To where, you know, you get these older teams at some point. You get these guys that have played a lot of snaps, not just a lot of snaps, but a lot of snaps together. And, you know, that's probably a lot of it right there. So, I mean, I'd love to take them all, you know, and I feel like we have the staff that has the ability. We've shown that the last couple of years that we can recruit with the best of them, that our program is as attractive as any. We were coming off a playoff run this year, you know, and so recruiting off of that, you know, is really easier than what we did the year before, you know, where there was a second guessing and questionable things like that, you know, and we're just continuing to pave our way and, you know, just continue to keep focused on ourselves. That's the way you got to do it. Not get caught up in what's going on outside. Stick to the plan and keep executing.
So there you have it. And I probably started that a little bit early. I think he was finishing up talking about the atmosphere and the, you know, just the brand itself here at Alabama. But anyway, you heard the man talk about, you know, the recruiting and kind of where they're at with that. And I thought it was a pretty interesting answer, you know, Reed. And I see the Pastor Payne is joining us now as well. He talked about kind of where they're at and they've signed two good classes. And, you know, of course you're going to have attrition, but the reality is, when you bring in guys, I mean, more than likely, they got to have spots, and they don't really have a bunch of spots. So he kind of repeated a lot of the stuff we've been, you know, discussing and hearing about, right? So not necessarily new, but I feel like the way he kind of articulated makes a little bit more sense. Then to go further, there was a stat that I was trying to find who tweeted it. I thought it might have been Mike Rodak, maybe somebody else. But anyway, it was in an article that Alabama, I think, signed. The last two classes were like top five classes. And of those, I believe 48 total players, only one is no longer with the program. And he transferred out, and that was DeBose. He was an offensive lineman. So they currently have 47 of the 48 top recruits, right? Or the recruits in that top, those top five classes over the last 2 years currently on their roster. That being said, he's right. They definitely have a great system where they're holding on those guys. Now, that is anticipating that all those players will in fact still be on the roster next year. So you do have to take that in mind. That's the only reason I say that. While it all makes sense, you do have to just remember, like he even said earlier on, I don't know if he said it there. Yeah, I think he did say about like the guys are probably going to leave. There's going to be a few because they want to play. And there might be guys from that first class that are going on year three and still don't have a role that's completely carved out. And they may in fact, you know, search an opportunity to go play. So I think it makes sense. Just that explanation hopefully probably clears it up a little bit. I still think there's a fair argument to be made that, you know, the quality of recruits, I get it. People are going to give the pushback about, oh, well, you're paying all these other guys. I understand that. But again, with the anticipation that you're going to lose a couple, I think there's still room to take some, which they've got Elijah Haven. They've gotten, I think Newkirk is like a top 100 guy. But I still think there's probably some missed opportunities that we had. And I think, I mean, we've missed some opportunities, but hearing him explain that, I think it makes it a little bit more, I don't know, easier to understand for anybody that didn't necessarily fully get the whole smaller class thing and why. Now you have it a little bit more in detail, maybe, if that makes any sense. Anything else you took from that, Reed?
Yeah, no, I think the fact that, kind of like you pointed out, how he said, you know, we retain so many guys that, you know, are we just going to kick the guys that we have that have been building that together out for these new guys? And so, and he pointed it out that they've been competing and recruiting these last 2 years. And so I that stat right there, 47 of the 48, I mean, that's, when we're talking about retention, that's retention right there.
Yeah, and so I'm reading on Bama 24/7 when they wrote it up. So I think maybe it was Mike Rodak in the article that he wrote. And like you said, he'd love to take them all, but I think logistically you just have to look at these things. And like I mentioned before, were there probably some guys that they would have been willing to pay and they could have brought in? Sure. Did they land them? As of now, it doesn't seem like they did. They missed on some guys, whether it was like a Mitchell Turner or whoever that prospect, said prospect might be. But at the end of the day, when you're sitting at 47 to 48 over the last two classes of top five classes, that means going into the next year, you're going to have what should be high caliber players there that have been sitting and developing in your program, which is kind of what we talked about. That's the whole reason they wanted to lean into high school recruiting versus a lot of people that were just dipping into the portal along the way. So when you view it from that perspective, if, and it's a big if, they are able to maintain that level of retention this next football season, right? Because you just never know what can happen. That's the goal. If that is completed, that goal, and retaining those players, the payoff should be relatively nice. The payoff should be that you'll have guys that are going into their junior and sophomore seasons that have been in the program, been developed, they've been in your system. They're your guys. And hopefully you can see, I guess, that pay dividends at that moment in time, and then just plug and play where you need it. So on that front, I think that should maybe reassure some fans that had maybe a little bit too much concern. I still think there is a very genuine case to question maybe not landing some of these guys, not all of them, because you didn't probably go after all of them, but some of them, that's also fair. But I think that maybe just reassures some of the folks that were maybe on the ledge for a little bit. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll keep talking about some of these points in this interview. We got my dad on here. We got Brandon Clear on here. We'll get their thoughts as well, and we'll keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge.
Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, Tuscaloosa's destination for iconic Jeeps. Owner loyalty earns $1,500 cash back on a new 2026 Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-7217.
That's 800-553-7217. What do you have to lose? Call 800-553-7217. Again, 800-553-7217.
For more from Tide 100.9,
let's it fly!
On Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud.
WTBC. We're joined by Brandon Clear here on the stream. We're listening a little bit to this Martin Houston interview with Coach DeBoer this morning. We kicked it off with the part about the recruiting strategy right now, or just kind of just an update on kind of where their head is at, as a staff. Brandon, I think you got to hear that. I think you jumped on as he was answering that, or maybe you read, you know, that everybody's been writing articles on it. But What do you make of that? Do you feel like that explains kind of where they're at? I mean, personally, I still feel like, again, they still probably have missed. And I get it. They might not be as aggressive because of the strategy that they're taking. That makes sense as well. I still think you want to have some balance. I know you're just kind of padding the roster with this class, but you never want to turn away good players. I know that. And you're going to need them at some point. But I think they're getting some good developmental guys. Just think there could be a little bit more balance, just my opinion. What do you think of Coach DeBoer's answer in terms of kind of where they're at with their recruiting?
So the answer for me and even the approach, it makes sense. And this is where the tricky part comes because it's phased approach. So if I just take the analogy, the three of us, so you all are coming in and I'm recruiting the both of you. And then all of a sudden, you know, again, pastor's a year behind you, Christian, you come in, I've paid you a fair wage, you outperform that wage, and I got to pay you more. But then pastor's coming in, same position, and he's like, I'm worth $1.2 million. You're a five-star. I want you to come. And I got to look you in the eye and say, hey, Christian just came in. He outperformed his contract. I cannot pay you the equivalent or more than him, even though he may have been lower rated. So you were a four-star, Christian, but you outperformed that by leaps and bounds. I have to retain you on my roster, but I also want Pastor to be able to come on my team. So, again, this is where you have to have strategy and talking and being honest with these players. You have to let them know this is what it is. If you think you're better than Christian, let's have a conversation about it. I don't think you will be right now. Not to say that you don't have the potential of a higher ceiling, but right now he's performing. He's guaranteed to play because he's a starter. You're coming in and vying for a starting spot. How can I look Christian in the face and I just upped his pay, but I'm going to be paying a freshman coming in that has five stars, whatever that means nowadays, coming in and he's going to be making the equivalent or more than him. It starts rippling. The rippling effect when you start doing that is the players that you've retained, they viewed you as an honest broker and you're being real. And you said, I will always compensate you for what you've done. And right. So that's where it's real tricky when you're doing that. So for me, if you're asking my honest opinion, this ruling of the 5 year, no more red shirts, the high school recruiting is going to be impacted by this. Because me and how I am, if I'm a business owner, I need proof of concept. I don't care about your potential. I will take a risk on potential, but I'm going to pay you for potential. It's a risk for me. I'm not going to pay you $1 million salary and you just graduate from college unless you're Albert Einstein. And then I'm paying and see the return on investment may benefit me. But by then, Albert Einstein was showing a proof of concept, even though he may not have been making the money. So anytime I'm looking and listening to this high school recruiting, I do believe five stars. I think that you can see the potential there. They have the measurables. They have some of the production. But when you get into playing college ball, I want to see that you actually have the ability to do it. I'm not paying you to sit on the bench. So, again, play. If you're Texas, you have throwaway money. It doesn't matter if you're paying $1 million to Pastor Corey coming in. Hey, we're $1 million for Pastor. You know, Christian, you're right, man. I'm up. You're paid to $3 million. Right? They have that throwaway money. But what's going to happen is Ole Miss is going to run into this issue.
And you also put Josh Ward in I formation.
You're paying them. And then all of a sudden, now they're over here trying to get the re-up. They're looking for a pay up, but they've been sitting their freshman year and they're like, hey, you know, Oregon's calling. They said they'll pay more. What is Ole Miss going to do? The guy's going to watch the bench, but then someone else is willing to pay him for potential. And you've invested all that time and energy for him to sit on the bench. Now you have to compete with an Oregon who hasn't done anything, but now they're going to get a maybe closer to a finished product. So again, that's where the strategy and a lot of fans kind of bypass a lot of that. It's just, you have to think about all those factors as a leader, and you can't just go around paying five stars because you're a five star. And then they get there and they're not worth the dollar that you're paying them for. I'm sitting in those college. Look, when recruits were coming, my coach, the one thing with Clemson, Coach Sweeney, he didn't guarantee me anything. He said an opportunity. That's it. He didn't say I'm starting. He didn't say I'm going to do this. Saban probably took the same approach. You will have an opportunity. And you saw Thibodeau. What was it? Kayvon Thibodeau was like, nah, I'm good. He said, you'll be ready to start when I think you're ready. He's like, I'm good. I'll go to Oregon. Okay, that's good, man. That's not for you. Go to Texas. Go to Ole Miss. Go to Texas Tech, where they'll pay you to sit and you don't produce. Then they're going to keep paying you. Then they got throwaway money. Good for them. Alabama doesn't have that type of money. They have to be very fiscally responsible. They'll pay players, but it's more off production.
No, I mean,
well, that makes sense. I think your point is well taken there. I said this before, and this just goes back to what I said last week. I said the team that is going now, going to be successful now, is going to be a team that can manage, guess that word, their roster. And so now you have, that's why you're bringing in GMs, you're bringing in people who might have an NFL background that understands how to manage the roster. And the person that gets hurt is high school players. High school players, those guys have been 4-star, 5-star, 3, high 3. They're going to have to go down to smaller schools, the group of 5, whatever it's called, or even Division 2, get trained, get developed, and then become a free agent of college. And now they're ready to play. Now they got film. Now coach can say, oh, yeah, he grew. He got bigger. He got stronger. He's better. Now I can see him being that guy. Now they can get into this whole thing, this bidding war. But there's only going to be a few players in high school that coaches are going to say, I'm going to spend some money on because I believe he's going to be a kid that can develop quickly. He's a kid that can get on the field quickly. He's a kid, what you were saying, Brendan, that can, you know, he'd be worthy of my investment. He's a value producer, and I can give him a scholarship. So, you know, this is what it's turning into. I mean, nobody cares about, well, let me rephrase that. People do care about the star rating, but they shouldn't anymore because if you're going to win, you got to win like now. You got to be able to say, okay, I got to go find plug and play, which is what I'm more disappointed in Alabama because they don't have those plug and play dudes. And they are a team that needs it more than anybody, right? They got a good foundation of players, but they need some dudes, right, to compete at the highest level. So I heard what he was saying, you know, but you needed a rush guy. You needed another receiver, a playmaker. You need an offensive tackle. Somebody that can play right now, that can step into your lineup and be productive, and you don't mind giving him, you know, 7 figures because you're going to get the results from him. They didn't go do that. But what about the high school? What about the guys they need right now? So, yeah, they still good enough to win 7-8 comfortably, but what about those 3 games? Where you got, where everybody else got talent? Then they got maturity. He even alluded to that. And I think he was talking about Indiana because he's talking about these veteran-oriented players that they were able to bring in there. And it showed when you had a team full with a bunch of 5-stars and 4-stars, Alabama, Oregon, and they dismantled them. Why? Because I said this before, I will take experience all day, every day, twice on Sunday over somebody that has, guess this word, potential. And that's what you got to be doing right now. So we can talk about the recruiting, their last whoopity-doo, but what did they do as far as transfer portal? And that to me, you know, if he was saying what he was saying, but yet they went out and got those key position guys, I'd have been like, bro, you're doing the right thing. They got no recruits. They did last. And they got no transfer portal guys, but a couple of guys that people say, we hope they're going to do this, and we hope they'll do. No, I'm talking about show enough dudes, right? They got enough history and tradition like Clemson to go out and say, man, we can go out and get these kind of guys. So we're going to take our pocket of cash that we do have, and I'm investing over here. And well, if I can't get...
It's fit, though, right?
It's fit.
You made it to the NFL. But your personality may not be a fit for that organization. It's not an indictment on you as a potential impact player. But there's some cast out here. But what's the dude that ended up going to USC? Then he's at Oregon. Like, there's some guys that Bear. I think that was his name. He went to Texas, USC, then Oregon. Mm-hmm. If you look at his film, I would have said yes. He's worth the investment. But then you start looking at these personalities. And some of the, like, you heard in the high school recruiting, there's this one guy that's a top recruit, 5-star. A couple of teams have just said, I'm out. And they haven't said why. And then I start looking, I'm like, it has to be fit is number one. So you're right. We don't know. The transfer portal and how they did the ratings is funny because I was like, how could you get through that many people? I think it was like 6,000 players in the transfer portal. How could you really have a reasonable ranking system that would show exactly whether those players rank? I don't even know what the metrics were. So that's one aspect of it. But the other part of it is the fit. And so what they have done, and this is where I give them credit, but I'm right there with you, Pastor. I don't know what it's going to look like on film. I think it has potential, but they went and actively said, we need to get bigger on the defensive line. We need big bodies. And they did it. Now, are those big bodies going to be impact players? TBD.
Is the linebacker that they pulled in, is he, Wilson, is he going to be decent? TBD. To your point, you're like, why don't you go over here to one of these other places and say, hey, LSU, you got some dudes at linebacker. How much you want? And that's where I do agree with you. I don't think they've done that. That has not been their approach. And I believe that on certain impact, the defensive end, you need a rusher, you're going to have to pay. That is real. Linebacker. Right. A true linebacker, impact linebacker, you're going to have to pay money. We DBs were good. It was
left tackle, you're going to pay money.
You're right.
I think, let me just chime in. I don't think they necessarily went and got some of these guys you're describing that you just say, hey, where they're coming from, they played 2 years starting experience. I mean, this guy's, we know exactly what we're getting because I feel they lean a little bit more in potential. But there were some guys that I feel like are going to end up being a lot better than people perceived. For example, even Devin Tompkins. Like, I watched this tape on the show, and I'll be the first one to tell you, I was concerned about his ability to stop the run. After seeing him this spring, I mean, he's a big body guy. He moves extremely well to be big. He's got great versatility. I think he's going to be a much better player than I initially had the, I guess, idea of when I first watched
him. You saw him in person, right?
Yeah. And he's a good player. Now, I'll still say this, though. Do I think he's going to give you way more than you got out of a guy like LT? The position versatility is different because he plays more of a true three technique and edge. LT was more just he's a bandit, could slide and play some four eye, could play a three in pass rush situations. So they're not the same player. But in terms of output, I'll be completely honest with you. I mean, LT was also in like those first round mocks going into last season. I think they're kind of comparable players. Even if you are kind of getting similar results, I think that's a solid pickup. But to my dad's point, like an offensive line, I know you go get Javen James, but let's just be honest. I mean, we watched his tape. He struggled at Mississippi State at times, is inconsistent. I think he's somebody who can plug and play and play there. But if you're saying, hey, we want to feel confident when it comes down to those games against the Indianas, the Georgias, the top programs, are the caliber of players that we are going and getting from the transfer portal that are plug and play, are they that level of player, or are we going to have to bank on, hey, the development piece, which can end up working out? That's all I was saying with the class. I never said it was a bad class, like some people said. I never said that. I just said a lot of it didn't consist of a whole bunch of, you know, exactly who these players are, what they're going to give you. It's more so we're dependent on what we're able to get out of them when they get here, because they haven't necessarily been that player at their previous spot. It's like we talk about pass rusher. We end up getting Zulu, who I think has great potential, but throughout his career, he's going into year four. I mean, he's got only a sack and a half. And people are going to bring up Dylan Stewart, but he still was rotating in, getting plenty of snaps. He played more snaps than I did in 1 year, and I had 2.5 sacks behind Tim Williams and Ryan Anderson. And I got probably half the amount of snaps. That's not a knock on him. I'm just saying that's not an excuse. That's just the player he is. You just got to know what you're getting. I think
he is a role player, and that's what I'm saying. He's a cheap guy. He's a guy that left South Carolina, and hey, Alabama wants me. I'm going to a program that's in dudes to the league. South Carolina does too, but I'm saying, but he ain't no show enough dude, right? So all I'm saying, and they got to go to break. In the NFL, right, they're going to have a board that's going to be in the free agency. Like, they know what kind of money they're going to have to pay to get. They got to get in that game and compete with the other people that's going to want him and be willing to write that check to make them better. So to me, if I'm going to win and I'm desperate, I'm going to go spend my money out here. I'm going to ride or die with the free agents right now. A guy that's trained, developed, and experienced. Not a freshman. Not a guy that fans are clapping about because he's a five-star. And, you know, come on, man.
Maybe, and he didn't mention this, but maybe the philosophy has shifted a little bit because they're not really signing those guys right now in the current recruiting class. I know.
Because I think they blew it last year. I think they blew it last year, and they got
to. They spent a lot of money. Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's a fair point. All right, let's hit a timeout. Brandon, you got a few more minutes when we come back, or you got to go
for a couple more?
Okay, all right, we're gonna hit this quick break. When we come back,
we'll be contacted once all the tickets are sold. You don't have to be present to win. To purchase tickets, Venmo at Brandon-Massengale or bring cash to Jeff Sumner at Cypress Supply.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
free information, call 800-319-3687. 800-319-3687. 800-319-3687.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Going to hold on to sunshine with a pop-up shower or storm here this afternoon at 88, 72 tonight. Early shower or storm, then partly cloudy. Slight chance of showers and storms on Friday with Friday's high 91. And the temperature's 92 to 95 for the weekend coming up. Sunny skies Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Richard DeWetting at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 85 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Follow Tide 100.9 on Facebook today to watch our live shows, read the great articles, and interact with Bama fans today.
The Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Just a couple more minutes before we hit this top hour break, but we got our guy Brandon Clear on here. I want you guys to listen to this part from the interview real quick and get y'all's response. It was Coach DeBoer discussing philosophy and I believe the run game as well.
Yeah, Cajun, when it comes to your offensive philosophy, and we're looking at it, we're Alabama fans, you know, the physical run game.
Are you serious? Of course it starts buffering right when we're playing the clip.
Of course, you know, the guy right above you, physical, mean fullback when he played. within your system, what should fans expect to be the evolution of the run game going into year three?
Dang, man, is it my internet or Martin's? Come on.
See, what most people just kind of know is what –
All right.
I understand that. I totally get it. And I think when you go back over time, I mean, I come from the upper Midwest where November and December, there's a lot of wind, there's snow, there's cold, and you had to have that. You had to have, and we had the number one defense in the country many of those years when we won national championships. And we had an offense that could control the ball when it had to. It was explosive. We had recipes for success, get on top of people, let the defense pin their ears back and get after you when you got a nice lead and start fast. And I mean, there's a lot of things.
I'm just going to pause that there. You guys got to get the point. I don't know what's up with the buffering there, but he kind of brought back, you know, his old times at some of his other stops where, you know, they had no choice but to run the football. And basically, it sounds like he's alluding to the fact that it kind of depends on personnel, the year is kind of what you got going. But he said, you know, physicality is a staple, you know, and he thinks sometimes the stats themselves kind of throw people off. It doesn't paint the whole picture. What do you guys make of that? And what's y'all's confidence for 2026 that you could see a little bit different of an identity in terms of the offense?
Very nice guy. I ain't trying to hear all that. When they ask you that question, you look right at the camera. You say, we didn't get it done. It's a mentality. We brought in Clem. You will see a difference. You'll feel a difference because we know there has to be a difference in order for us to be successful. Fans don't want to hear excuses about last year. They don't want to hear about my time in the Midwest. They want to hear Alabama's fixing the issue that we had last year was a mentality which starts with me. I didn't do a good enough job. And we're actively fixing it. We're not trying. We're doing it. So listen when I'm saying this and you feel the guy in front can't do it, the next one will come up. We got the stable running backs. Each one's going to have an opportunity. This is a showbiz. So I'm pissed off going into the offseason. You'll get to play in the offseason. By the time we get to the game, if things haven't changed, then I failed as a coach. That's how I feel about the run game. It's piss poor. It's unacceptable. And we put our quarterback risk of getting injured, and he ended up in a first-round pick because we couldn't run the ball.
Dang.
Wow. That's it. Listen. Man, listen, this is what I'm talking about right there. Brandon, Thank you, brother. I'm glad you said it before I got, I ain't even got time to get in on that answer right there, because all I'm just going to say, therein lies what I was saying when you was like, man, even, listen, that soft, Charmin tissue, powder puff answer. I don't care about you winning no championships in the Midwest at some honky dog, whatever that league was. Come on, man. I mean, what about last year? What you do last year? And oh, we knew it was cold and it was snowing and we had to run, you know, the school of Sister Mary's. What about Alabama? You soft, you got pushed back, you got dominated the line of scrimmage. You were terrible at running the football. Coach, how will you be better? What can the fans expect differently? Well, they can expect physicality, toughness, finish at the end, finish runs, running through tackles. We're going to make sure our running game will mimic what it used to be. No excuses. That's the way the answer should go. Not smiling with your hands down like, yeah, you know, it was cold in the wind. Come on, man.
I mean, to be fair, we didn't let the man finish because the I don't know what was up the video. No, but he did it. Coach, he ended up saying, go ahead.
He's a good guy, man. He's a great guy. He's a great head coach.
I love Kalen DeBoer.
We got
and I think he's a great coach.
It's just that he don't have to say anything. It's about that feeling when you talk and you see the irritation, because I've seen it in him. That's what he has to lean on. And that's just, he'll learn that. And he hasn't mastered that part of it. Saban mastered it. So I'm not trying to tell him to be Saban. I'm just saying, like, how I irritated the pastor was. Christian, you were irritated too. There's ways to communicate it to where you're not throwing your guys under the bus, but let it know that it's my fault that it wasn't getting done without just sounding like it's cliches coming out. It's the energy you put out. So just how I said what I said, you know I'm irritated. You're not getting this cookie cutter answer. I don't have the answer because we did not answer the call, and our quarterback got massacred because we couldn't run the ball. Mm. I'm putting it out there. And look, I'm telling you right now, this team right now is leaning towards 2021 Bama. And if you go back and look at that offensive line, it wasn't great. But somehow Brian Robinson was able to produce.
Yeah.
Brian Robinson produced. Bryce Young was getting lit up like a Christmas tree for one of the Heisman. But they were able to run the ball and couldn't even block their own shoes. And so I'm looking at that team. I'm just saying, bro, 2021 is what they have the potential to do, because I don't know how the offensive line is going to be, but it doesn't matter. Running the ball like Brian Robinson ran the ball is a mentality, and it doesn't matter who's in front of him. So just knock all that off. Clem can fix whatever he wants to. I just need to see a mentality shift. That means less talking, more doing, and being pissed off. But you don't have to say I'm pissed off. You see it. You feel it. So running backs, if anybody about who's blocking in front of me team is, if you that dude like Crowell run the damn ball.
There you go.
You getting paid that money, bro. Show up.
I like it. Brandon, we appreciate you as always. Looking sharp and bringing the heat, man. We appreciate you.
Hope
you
good stuff, great. Senator. Good stuff, Senator. That was great. good stuff.
There you go.
Bro,
see you next week, brother.
Always a pleasure. You got me fired up today, bro.
That's right.
And yeah. I try to make sure that I leave my people feeling good.
There you go. We got to hit this half-hour break. Brandon Clear, everybody. We appreciate you. When we come back, we got Adam Lamparillo joining us right on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Monty.
Chelsea Bolaños.
For the first time in the nation's history, South Africa is headed to the round of 32 at the World Cup after defeating South Korea 1-0 and securing second place out of Group A. They will face Canada on Sunday in Los Angeles. Mexico shut out Czechia 3-0. Brazil won Group C after defeating Scotland 3-0. And Morocco beat Haiti 4-2, also out of Group C, and they're headed to the knockout stage. In the NBA, the Hornets are engaged in LaMelo Ball trade talks as multiple teams strongly pursue the star guard. This is according to ESPN. Well, the Pistons traded Isaiah Stewart to the Memphis Grizzlies for three future second round picks. In baseball, the Chicago Cubs are acquiring left-hander David Peterson from the New York Mets. The Cubs beat the Mets in game two of their doubleheader 10-2. New York has lost five in a row. Mookie Betts hit his 300th career home run as the Dodgers topped the Twins 4-3, while the Yankees held on 4-2 against the Tigers in Detroit.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Wednesday edition of The Game, we're going to talk with Aaron Torres, Fox Sports national analyst. We'll talk to Pete Butak from collegefootballnews.com. We'll do that starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
You guys check them out for any of those services, of course, legal representation, any criminal defense matter, NIL, academic misconduct, or again, we'll dive into some other talk here in a moment, unfortunate news, but also other services like academic and career planning, high school graduate, college students, all that good stuff. They'll take care of you, exam and test taking preparation. Check them out, lamprello-law.com, to find out even more. Schedule yourself a consultation and get you somebody that's going to work hard for you and do it at a very affordable rate, because we know how important that is. Adam, good Thursday to you. Welcome in.
Hey, Christian. Thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. We always appreciate you joining us. And again, a very unfortunate news, but the timing is kind of ironic that we get you here on the show. We have our official lawyer and legal expert here because one of our former guys, man, unfortunately finds himself in a tough spot. And we'll get to that here in a moment. But we were talking a little bit about this Coach DeBoer interview from early this morning with Martin Houston here on the station. Really great job. Covered a number of things. We listened to the recruiting part, and we just heard from him in terms of the philosophy, the running game, and whatnot. Any thoughts on that as we just heard that clip here coming out of that break?
I think it's encouraging to hear Coach DeBoer say that. But to be honest, I think Coach DeBoer is a fantastic coach and a great person. I do not believe that he is the right fit for Alabama, either for him or for Alabama. And I sometimes wonder if he's even happy here. Now, I know I'm digressing, but I don't think physicality is in his DNA. I think that saw that at Washington. I think he has heard the criticism and wants to become more physical, but I don't think that's his DNA. And I think we're still going to perform well on the field, still probably going to go to the playoffs, but my bigger concern is that the fit just isn't the right one at this time.
Listen, I think as a coach, you know, play for a lot of different coaches. And I can go back and look at, been drafted by Bill Parcells. I knew what his coaching mantra was. I knew the physicality. They Giants played football a certain way, blue collar, right? That was run the football, keep it third and short, play great defense, be good on special teams. That was their blueprint, right? That was Bill Parcells, go back to 86 through 9, all those super great years that the Giants had. Then you look at a guy like, you know, I played for Denny Green. Denny Green, different mindset, very good football coach, but he fit at Minnesota. You know, they had Randy Moss, Chris Carter, you know, they had Robert Smith, the running back. When I got there, different mindset of the team, a little bit more country clubbish. Mindset wasn't, you know, hit you in the mouth, right? And when we got in close games a lot of time, physical games, it was different. And so I agree with what Adam's saying. A guy can be a great football coach, but yet be a bad fit. And Alabama, just over almost 22 decades, right, with Nick Saban, 17 years, wherever he coached, everything was toughness. Everything was fourth quarter. Everything was the standard. This is how we do things. So when you go hire a coach, do you change that and say, we want something different? The game is changing. It's more basketball on turf, so to speak, or football on turf, you know, and it's fast, it's open. So we need a quarterback, a coach and a quarterback that can spread it around. We might give up 30 points, but we'll score 40. That mindset. And to me, that's kind of how I view, whether jaded or not, I view Kalen DeBoer as that type of coach. I don't really know if he's all about the physicality. Now, I was sitting there thinking when he was speaking, Dylan Brooks, I believe his name, Dylan, the running back at Washington that transferred from Mississippi State, he had 1,000 yards, I believe, at Washington, right? So they were capable of running the football. Now, it wasn't the hit you in the mouth type of running game, but what they're hoping is to get a run game from a spread offense. And therefore you gas people while they're in nickel and or dime, you run the football. And that's what they were doing at Washington. It wasn't a physical brand of running the football. So Alabama, their whole culture, that's the right word, thank you, Lord, culture has changed from Nick Saban for 17 years, physicality, bust you in the mouth, make you quit, I'll fight the sidelines, be in an uproar, we give up plays and points. That is gone, and that's what you're saying, Adam, right? He's a good man, good coach, but he don't necessarily fit what Alabama has been for 17 years. That mantra has gone and left the building, and I don't think it works. I really don't. I don't think it's going to work at Alabama. That West Coast mindset, you talk about the Midwest, but he's coming in really with a West Coast mindset at Washington, and I just don't think it's going to work. So something has to change. Either he's going to change or Alabama will change who leads their team going forward. Something's going to have to change for them to get back to that level.
Well, I would say this. I do believe that his style is different. I think that's part of the reason you see a lot of, whether it's criticism or just fans, you know, overreact. I wouldn't even say overreacting, but reacting pretty strongly to certain things because, number one, people don't like change. And then when you see such a, you know, drastic change to something that was, you know, the best of that it's ever been, right? A dynasty, the best program we've ever seen. It's hard for people to kind of wrap their heads around. So I understand that, and I hear exactly what you guys are saying. I don't disagree. I do think the fit isn't the most organic fit, personally. I don't. That said, I don't think that means it's not going to work, right? Now, I agree that physical brands of football and those types of football teams typically have much more success. You just look at the top football teams, whether it's college, whether it's NFL. Outside of maybe, I mean, Los Angeles Rams, I feel like they're a little bit more of that kind of, you know, style, but they can still run the ball they need to. That said, we'll have to wait and see, but that leads me to this point. David Pollack kind of spoke on Coach DeBoer, kind of the outlook right now of Alabama, and I thought he hit the nail on the head. He kind of basically hit on a lot of the things that we've been saying and talking about in terms of the outlook of Alabama. This is what he had to say when he joined the next round yesterday.
So although Alabama wins 11 games, goes to a college football playoff, plays for an SEC championship, and ends up in the top 10, Alabama fans, as you probably are aware, they're not sure about Kalen DeBoer. Just as a guy that sits on the couch and watches these games, like how different is the point of attack up front Alabama teams from Nick Saban to what you have seen over the last 2 years under Kalen DeBoer?
I think that's the biggest reason why. There's a couple reason why Alabama fans are upset. And here's the thing. I get it. I understand it. First thing you can't be upset about, he's beaten everybody. And he's beaten Kirby Smart, who's, you know, the best coach in the SEC every single year and what he's developed at Georgia. He's won in big games. He's won at a high level. He wins against ranked opponents. The things that if I'm an Alabama fan that I have a right to be upset about, first of all, Indiana went frying pan to my head in the playoff. It wasn't close. It was over. Like, it was, they dominated me up front. It's the losses to the unranked teams. It's not being ready to play. It's the Oklahoma loss a couple years ago. You're like, how does that happen? Like, how do you lose to Oklahoma when they don't have a quarterback? They got issues all over the place. They're trying to figure things out. That's the kind of thing you do. And I think that's what you're frustrated with. Here's what I'm really interested to see. DeBoer's now got his guys, man. Like, it's taken some time. He's had to recruit. He's recruited at a really high level. He's a really good football coach. They signed him to an extension, relieved some of the pressure. He jumped into an unwinnable situation. It doesn't matter what he did. He was following the best coach of all time. So I think he's done a really, really good job. You can't lose to unranked teams. And the inability to be physical and run the football, that has to sting. Like, you have to. Here's the thing. You guys know this. What do you want to see with a coach? I want a clear identity. I want physicality, ideally, to be that identity. That hasn't been Alabama's. And to get back to some of that, I think would go a long way because he does win against ranked opponents. He's won in big games. He's got to the college football playoff and he's handled himself really well with considering all the expectations and things he's had to deal with.
I think David Pollack summed that up about as good as possible right there, because that's kind of the thing that I've been saying on this show this whole time, right? Because you have two conflicting sides, right? You know, one side is like, you know, hey, how can people be frustrated or have any criticism, you know? And they mention all the highs and the positives that we've seen, but then they kind of discredit or disregard some of the low points. And then the other side is people just hyper-focus on just the negatives and don't give credit where it's due. And that's why I think David hit the nail on the head, because at the end of the day, there's no denying Coach DeBoer, that's when we talked about the top coaches on those rankings that people had come up. There's no denying it. He's beat Kirby Smart twice. He's beat Steve Sarkisian multiple times. He's beat Dan Lanning. I mean, he's got the best head-to-head record against all the top coaches, right? I think his record or winning percentage against ranked opponents or ranked coaches, I think is better than, I think, any other coach. Or it's up there at least. But it's those moments, like David also had mentioned, that I think kind of helps that negativity creep in or the doubts creep in as if he is that guy or the right guy that can have that success. But I think what David said was right. You know, I think with a clear identity, more consistency, right, limiting those poor performances of the loss that you shouldn't have, even just more consistency in performances, like whether it's running the ball or whatever the case may be, stopping the run, and then ultimately just reestablishing a brand that's a little bit more physical. I see guys in the chat saying that Well, technically, Coach Saban's was kind of fading. Yeah, we've already said that. There's no denying that. You know, Coach Saban's last 2 years wasn't exactly the same brand of football, and I think it's a number of reasons. I think the kids nowadays are different. I know he kind of softened up a little bit. He wasn't the same Coach Saban that he probably was. He didn't have the same people around him. I always talk about the staff his final year. He didn't have the same coaches on that staff that he had initially, so I think that played a role in it as well. But I think really if Coach DeBoer could put out a team, and I tweeted this out yesterday, and I think most people agree with this, it's not – people have confidence that he can go win big football games. But what they want to see more trust and confidence is the physicality, the consistency in which he does it. And I think to that part, I think David Paul was pretty much spot on. Would you guys agree with that or any thoughts on that?
Well, briefly, I think when I watched that interview, what stood out to me was not what he said. It was his body language. The body language to me screamed uncertainty, somewhat uncomfortable, not that confident. I mean, his voice didn't project. His posture. I mean, there's subtle indicators that suggested to me that he's a great coach, but not the right fit for Alabama. And I say this because, you know, Coach DeBoer deserves to be happy too. And I think that it's just not going to work here. And his body language told me everything, that he knows it and that this is going to be maybe a 2-3 more year thing. And I feel bad for him because he's a good person, but it's just not the right fit, in my view.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll have to see. I mean, I think he's happy with what he's doing. I don't personally sense that from him, Adam. Like, I mean, I feel like he has made changes this offseason by getting the right guys. He mentions that in the interview in terms of Coach Clem and Coach Owens, that he pretty much confirmed everything we've been talking about. Guys with those backgrounds as offensive line coaches or offensive line at the highest level, Rich Owens, tight end at the highest level, bringing in some of those assistants that work with them. I mean, I think personally, I don't think he views it like that. I think he's confident in what he's building. I think he feels that he's just, you know, a few pieces away. And hopefully that is the case, and we'll have to see kind of some of the differences that might be made with some of the new additions.
Well, I got a response to one in the chat. It's like, well, what was Nick Saban's record his last 2 years? And like, Nick Saban's still was 23-4. 23-4. Yeah, it was, you could, physicality wasn't the same. Didn't have a defensive line, didn't have a dominant offensive line. We've talked about that a lot. Right, we've acknowledged that, and I said that was an issue.
Too, by the way.
And I felt like, you know, back then before the transfer portal, I was saying I thought they failed getting the top notch, recruits there at those positions. So yeah, but he still won games. I mean, he still went to a national championship game, lost to two of these in Michigan, right? No, who was the Natty? Wasn't that Michigan?
Yeah, so 2023, they lost that. So his final year, they lost to Texas at home. And then they ended up making it to the college football playoffs, and they lost to Michigan, where they really, again, not making excuses, but I'm just saying, I mean, they had plenty of opportunities.
I'm just saying, he's still 23-4. If you want to call that bad for Nick Saban, if that's your worst, you know what I mean, 11-2 and 12-2, I mean, and then you look at, we didn't get smoked by a team. Yeah, they lost, but they didn't get beat. Today was land lifeless, like, you know, Alabama lost to Indiana, how they were dominated against other schools. I mean, lost in a bowl game to Michigan, who didn't even have 50% of their team, get blown out, dominated by Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, that's right. Don't run off the road. And then also Oklahoma, who had no quarterback, as David Pollack alluded to, and they ran for over, I think, 200 yards or so on the ground. I mean, so these are the things that stand out. Yes, he beat Kirby. Yes, he done this and that. But man, the bad is bad, right? He does some good things, but when it's bad, it has been bad. And I think that's what sticks out. Why can't he get that fixed? How are you getting dominated physically? You're Alabama. You should not get dominated like that, especially against lesser opponents. That's the problem that I have.
We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll shift gears because we got Mr. Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law here on the show. And again, I'm not a big fan of covering news like this, but I feel like it's something that we should take advantage of having our lawyer on the show because something that's popped up in the headlines. So we'll get Adam's I guess, thoughts on kind of this whole Terron Arnold situation, kind of, you know, what that might look like, or maybe what some, I don't know, options could be. Maybe we'll get Adam down on the case or something like that. We'll definitely.
Jeep Dodge Ram, Tuscaloosa's destination for iconic Jeeps. Drive a new 2026 Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4, priced at $54,529.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Going to hold on to sunshine with a pop-up shower or storm here this afternoon at 88, 72 tonight. Early shower or storm, then partly cloudy. Slight chance of showers and storms on Friday with Friday's high 91 and the temperatures 92 to 95 for the weekend coming up. Sunny skies Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Richard DeWetting at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 88 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Find Tide on Twitter at Tide109 to keep up with show announcements, guests, and our reporters in the field.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right, we were joined by Adam, of course, our official lawyer and legal representation here on the show. And I guess kind of good timing on this, of course, very unfortunate news here. But in terms of kind of being, I guess, informed and educated on kind of what this entails, I think it kind of makes sense. But anyway, you guys know, kind of don't like feeling comfortable about doing all this, but Terron Arnold, former Alabama cornerback, had, I guess, been arrested, and it come out that in connection with, I guess, in a warrant that was placed with that robbery and kidnapping situation that we heard a couple months ago come up. I think it kind of disappeared for a little bit, and then, of course, I guess they continued their investigations, and they officially ended up putting that warrant out, and he ended up turning himself in. But Adam, initially when I saw the news, man, immediately I sent the article to you because, I mean, you're a lawyer. I mean, you fight for people, and I knew you would be able to kind of put this in perspective. But I think the one thing that really shocked me was the potential sentences that come with the charges that he is facing. Again, we all know, I mean, innocent until proven guilty. These are things that allegedly happened or he allegedly was a part of. And I just want to ask you and get your thoughts on this and just the situation itself. And just as a, I guess, a brief kind of summary, if you guys haven't necessarily heard of the situation, well, allegedly there was an Airbnb that Tarion owned down in Florida that I believe he was renting out. They believe that someone had robbed him of various items, I think, including cash, maybe, you know, up to this, maybe jewelry, I don't know, but it sounded like it summed up to being over like $200,000 in total. And he's, I guess, accused of maybe taking matters in his own hands along with a group of people in terms of trying to retaliate, maybe receive their, get their items back, you know, doing it their way, I guess. And that's when he was accused of having there's two, I guess, individuals, maybe two young women that lured the victims to an apartment. And that is when, I guess, the other participants were there. They held them at gunpoint. They assaulted the victims. And I think later on it was determined that those individuals, in fact, were not responsible for the original robbery, which was, I guess, the whole reason this had allegedly taken place. Which now fast forwards us to today, or I guess yesterday, which they've arrested multiple people involved. I think it's a total of like six or seven people. But Tarion Arnold, they've described as the conspirator, the one that kind of put everything together. I think it even alleged that this act was streamed to maybe like his phone or others' phone, and he witnessed the act happening. And then they ultimately left, let the people leave. That was kind of what I gathered. I probably could have done a better job, but I just was trying to just lay that out there. What do you know of this situation? And then in terms of what he specifically is facing, because again, I think everybody kind of got a jump scare when they saw the headlines read that he was facing a possible sentence of life in prison, which, I mean, is, we all know, I mean, that's a very serious thing. What do you just make of this situation with your experience as a lawyer and kind of just what you've been able to kind of research with it?
Well, first, you know, Tarion Arnold is innocent until proven guilty. And the facts that have come out are not facts. They're just allegations. The state has to prove him guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. With that said, apparently he was burglarized, lost approximately $250,000 in cash and other items. And the story is that he, along with several other people, devised a plan to essentially get revenge and get their stuff back by going to this man's residence, three of them, I think, and luring him out and then taking him to another place and assaulting him and physically beating him at gunpoint. So here's what Tarion Arnold is facing. Number one, if you agree or develop a plan such as he did here, that is called conspiracy. Conspiracy requires an agreement between Arnold and at least one other person to do the things that they did. If he was in fact the ringleader, he will be charged with conspiracy to kidnap and armed robbery, in addition to being charged with the substantive crime of armed robbery and kidnapping. And he's charged with two counts of each. That's a total of five counts. Now, theoretically, if found guilty on all charges, he would be potentially sentenced to life in prison. He will not be sentenced to life in prison. Sentences are developed based on ranges. 10 years to life, 20 years to life. He has no prior criminal history, and that will mitigate the sentence. But nonetheless, he's going to face a stiff sentence. The key is going to be whether he in fact was the ringleader. And what happens when someone is the ringleader is when the other people get caught, you know what they do? They sell them out.
Yeah.
And that's what happened here. And obviously prosecutors think they have enough evidence to prove the case. First thing he has to do is get a great lawyer. And I think someone in the chat said Timothy Jansen was his lawyer. Tim Jansen is a fantastic criminal defense lawyer in Florida. So that's a great choice. He's got to get bond. He's got to make an application to be let out, and the attorney's got to negotiate with the NFL so he's not immediately released. But this case most likely is going to go to trial. And if the facts are as true or as stated are true, it's going to be a uphill battle for Terrion Arnold. And I just got to say this, you know, because I don't mean to bring up more tragic stories, but when I saw this, I immediately thought of Henry Ruggs. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different case, but I thought, what are you doing as a young man thinking, instead of going to the police, if it's true, taking the law into your own hands and doing this? You're a famous football player. Just like with Henry Ruggs, why are you driving 120 miles an hour at 3 a.m? Like, something is wrong where either they're not, they don't have mentors for a guy. I don't know what it is, but to see a young man's career and life jeopardized like this, to me, is just very heartbreaking.
Okay. Let me say this. First of all, we're saying this is all alleged, okay? This is alleged. That we don't know if he did it or not, that that's what they're alleging he did. Which, if it is true, this would go under one of the dumbest crimes ever. It would go on a TV show, and there's a show that I've seen before, Dumb Criminals, right? This would be dumb, stupid, ridiculous, right? And I just have a hard time knowing Terrion Arnold, knowing what kind of person he is. He is Miss Terry, Nick Saban's wife, favorite athlete. I just don't see this happening. I know somebody can steal that kind of $250,000 money, cash, Drew, whatever, bid, you get angry, but then you're going to devise a scheme to lure somebody to an apartment and try to get the stuff back. This is something that takes me back to O.J. Simpson, that he got clear from a murder trial of Nicole Simpson and not guilty. Then he goes and they steal the stuff, and he goes, like, there's a situation like this already where the man served time in Las Vegas, Nevada, right? This is what it looks like to me. But I'm sitting here going, like, no matter how mad I am, I'm going to get my homeboys to do this, lure somebody to and I'm going to stream it? Like, everybody for the world to see?
No, not that stream. No.
Okay, but whatever.
Streaming, like, I guess what I read, the full details, they allegedly made it sound as if he wasn't involved. It was more so he was
a ringleader. He was a conspirator.
Right, and they
streamed, like, allegedly
they streamed the act, like, to him, meaning like they had a camera set up so he could
watch. That's what I'm saying, that the people streamed it to him.
Yeah, no, but it wasn't like streaming, not streaming in the sense of, like, you know, you watch live streamers on, like, everybody's
they watching. Videoed him personally, like a FaceTime or whatever.
There you go, exactly.
Okay, so my point, it don't matter to me. It is dumb. It's stupid. It's just like, and I pray, and listen, I'm being serious right now. I pray that this is not true. I pray that somebody set him up, that his boys, whoever's arrested already and pleaded not guilty, he pleaded not guilty, by the way, and they're trying to not allow him to get a bond, said, because he has money and he's a flight risk, but he is a first time, whatever. I think he gets out. He might have to put a mil, 2 mil, whatever it may be. They're going to make it high. But my thing is, this is so crazy, and I pray that these guys understand, man, that all the great things you could do in this life, all it takes is one negative thing to ruin your life. I preach and talk to guys about this all the time. Like, I mean, be careful who your friends are. It's sometimes this boy that you grew up with, sometimes you got to let it go. I just did a little devotional, and because I had lunch with Tyrone Corbin, former NBA player and coach, and one of his friends said, you know, have you ever heard about, you know, that you got to cut the high grass in order to get to the snake, meaning that there are snakes, they hide in tall weeds, they hide in high grass, and you can't see them. That's why you got to keep your grass low so you can see those things that are trying to bite you, may be poisonous. There's a lot of poisonous, even in our relationships, in our friendships, in our homeboys, who we grew up with, and we got to cut the head of them snakes off that hides in the high grass. And this is what this reminds me of. And I pray for him, and I pray that he didn't do this, because if so, this is going to go under dumb criminals, because this makes zero sense to do and expect and think you're going to get away with it. I mean, come on. I just don't see him doing. I just can't. I'm not going to believe it. I don't believe it. I think there's a wrinkle. There's a dead cat on the line, as they say. There's a dead cat on the line, a black cat on the line. They said, I ain't believing it. I'm believing that this man is smarter than that, and I pray that he gets off of it.
Well, to be, just to throw this out there before we hit this break, this was put out by Denise White of EAG Sports Management. It says, Terrion Arnold categorically denies any involvement in the matters, underlying the allegations made against him, and maintains his innocence. There is no credible evidence linking Mr. Arnold to these allegations. Instead, the government appears to be relying on testimony from multiple convicted felons who have admitted their own involvement and may have substantial incentives to shift blame in an effort to lessen their sentences. Mr. Arnold looks forward to his day in court and is confident that the judicial process will lead to his ultimate vindication. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep rolling on this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Competitive spirit with Rez Run, Iron Warrior, Volleyball, and the Cornhole Tournament. Visit ChoctawIndianFair.com and like us on Facebook.
Hope to see you there. Hachapita Lajigit.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Proud. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Alabama Crimson Tide lives right here.
Touchdown, Alabama!
On Tide 100.9.
Welcome back in real quick to this Thursday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're joined by Adam Lamparello, Lamparello Law Education Advocacy. A little bit of a tough conversation we're having here, but we got our legal expert here, and it's kind of nice just to get his his expertise.
Hello, this is Lamparello Law Firm. May I help you?
Yes, at a reasonable price.
There you go. That's the most important thing. Go ahead, Adam.
I think that should be the defense, but here's what this case is going to turn on: jury selection. They are going to hire a jury consultant, and they are going to go over about 1,000 different characteristics of what profile of a human being is most likely to be sympathetic to him. You get the right jury, he could walk. You don't, he's going to prison.
If, you know, going back to, we had the whole talks about the Aiden Holloway situation. I mean, you were 100% on how that would play out, and it in fact played out just as you laid it. Is there any alternatives here that you could say? Now, this is a totally different situation. I'm well aware of that, but with him being a first-time offender, with, you know, you mentioned him not allegedly not being there and all these factors, I know you said you anticipated being something where, yeah, he's probably going to have to, he's going, probably going to go to trial. If they took the time and did the research and, the, I guess, the investigation and to finally come to this conclusion with him involved, clearly they probably have enough to where they feel kind of confident, especially given what Coach Chelsea was saying in the chat. Are there any... I mean, could you, like, what would a plea even look, again, I know we're getting way too far into this. I'm just curious. Are these too dense of charges to even kind of think something like that? Because that's probably, I mean, you're talking about still years.
A plea is, I think, off the table because the charges are so serious. And because any plea agreement that the prosecution would agree to would still be so harmful to his career and his life that it just wouldn't be accepted.
He's not going to plead. I mean, especially if he feel like I did nothing wrong. So, I think some of the chat was saying that that chat GPT says that one of the things that the prosecutor is saying that he showed up at the place. Now, I don't know. I just think there's a dead cat on the line, bro. I just think there's some things that are going to come out that we don't know yet. You know, when you have these types of things happen, when there's a high pro person, athlete, you know, everybody's going to the court of public opinions is going to, you know, say this and say that. Reality is we know nothing but what we're reading from chat GPT to whatever, you know, that's popping out there on the World Wide Web. But we don't know. All I'm going to say is from the personality of Terrion Arnold, he don't even fit this whole mindset. Now, can somebody still do something stupid and crazy? Yes, we all can. We all can get to frustration or whatnot and do something crazy. But
yeah, I think for the defense, in addition to the theory, they've got to be thinking hung jury. It just takes one. And the benefit that Terrion Arnold has is he has money. And when you have a lot of money, you can afford the most expensive jury consultants and find that one person in the community who's never going to vote to convict. You hang the jury, the prosecution probably won't go after him again and he walks.
So explain that, because I'll be honest, that sounded like news to me. So you're saying the jury selection process, I know they vet a bunch of people. And how does that, I don't know exactly, I'm curious now that you say that. How does that process work?
So jury selection works by the court brings to the courthouse what's called a veneer, a cross section of community. And from that, the attorneys for both sides are allowed to question jurors, and they're allowed what's called peremptory strikes, usually six of them. Peremptory strikes means they can look at any juror in that pool and say, we don't want them, and they're out. They also have what's called for cause strikes, meaning if you have a legitimate reason to strike somebody, you can get them off the jury. What they're going to be focusing on is what are the personality characteristics, educational backgrounds, gender, race, socioeconomic status. They're going to put together the profile of the perfect juror. Because, you know, if Terrion Arnold was facing a jury of 12 individuals who were Marines, he's finished. If he's got a jury of social workers, teachers, nurses, he stands a better chance. And they're going to spend a lot of time putting that profile together. And with Tim Jansen at the helm, he's going to get great representation.
The reason I ask that, and I don't want to get into all the politics of this, but I know the most recent case with, I think it was Carmelo Anthony, that was like a national deal. And I think one of the things people mentioned was the jury behind that. That's why I asked, because I do know there's, like you just mentioned, you hear them talk about jury selection, but then I know people talked about in that situation, people were upset about the jury that was involved there. So I was kind of, curious, does it vary by state, the selection process? You know, I didn't know.
Not too much, but here, off the top of my head, what I would say is you want a racially diverse jury of people on the lower socioeconomic status who have experience with the criminal justice system, who generally work blue-collar jobs. You want people in service professions where they help other people, teachers, other educators, administrators, nurses, social workers. What you don't want is the elderly 65-year-old white male who was in the Army. That's not going to work. You don't want people who, you don't want 65-year-olds
in the jail.
You don't want that. No. Strike them.
Of course, you know, we love
the people. Was the people white that they robbed?
I don't know about all those details, but I don't know.
I don't want to get too racial, but there are profiles of, oftentimes people will say certain ethnicities are more likely to convict, and there's evidence to support that. He needs blue collar people, young people. He needs service oriented people. People get a hung jury at the least.
You want some brothers on there, that jury, that are 40 years or older, still wearing jerseys and tank tops with other men's name on the back. You want them?
You don't want the 70-year-old white male who dresses up as Santa Claus every year at some local town ceremony. You're finished. You go to the electric chair.
Yeah, probably not the ideal in many situations, unfortunately. Adam, before we let you go, please tell everybody, and you're going to fight for your clients, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you and hire you to defend them if they ever need any of those services.
Yeah, so at Lamp Row Law Education and Advocacy, we offer low-priced representation if you're charged with any crime. We offer educational services, defense for students, educational assistance. Check us out at lamparello-law.com or check us out on YouTube at Lamparello Law for free legal advice. Christian, Corey, always nice to see you. Christian,
always good, but you got me laughing. I'm looking at the jury in my I got six brothers with LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Steph Curry jerseys on, tank tops. Yeah, they got jerseys, with the name other men. And that's a violation, is what I'm saying. Men who are 40 and over that wear jerseys, you don't do that. No. But those kind of guys that if Terry Young goes to court, you want them in the jury box because they're going to be fans.
Thank you so much, man. Absolutely. Our guy, Mr. Adam Lamparello, Law Education Advocacy. We got to hit a timeout.
36829. That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
Welcome back into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Big thanks to our guy, Mr. Adam Lamparello, Lamparello Law Education Advocacy, who just joined us, offering some really good legal insight on kind of the situation that's come up that we were discussing a moment ago. We'll definitely stay up to date with it and just pray for the best. And, of course, if you guys need any help with anything that might come up in your life, hopefully you don't have any issues, but life happens. Make sure you guys contact Adam. He'll go to war for you. And, of course, at affordable rates and prices, lamparello-law.com for all that information. We're going to wrap things up on the radio side of things. We got about a minute left. Adam did mention that since you've inspired him to start the bad habit of smoking cigars, he did.
Who?
Adam. Adam said he's now a cigar smoker ever since a 10-year golf tournament. He put himself – the good news is, again, in moderation is totally fine. Use that code Miller's Edge, rnrcigars.com. We'll get you 20% off. You can be like Adam, get yourself a big discount on a nice box of cigars. Again, nothing wrong with them. Just moderately. But I guess the pastor Payne is influencing folks because Adam said he got a
package.
He said that. He literally said, tell your dad, I got me my nice big box of
stuff. Yeah, I mean, you know, he didn't just be responsible. Listen, it's kind of like the preacher, the Southern Baptist preacher.
No, we're not talking about all.
Nah, he gets in the pulpit and he gets on people. Some of y'all are just coming out the club that. This morning, yeah, 3 a.m., sleeping in a bed. Somebody that's not
hell.
Your wife and you're drinking all that beer.
I'm talking about hell. And I'm talking about preaching.
But my point is, then he come over to the house and eat four plates of fried chicken, fat back and all. My point is,
I'm not talking about that. Anyway,
no, you got to get to smoke a cigar. Just moderation. That's
100%. No, that's all I'm saying. Hey, let's do this. We'll wrap things up on radio. I'm gonna hang on here for a couple seconds, answer some last questions, and hang out. And then tomorrow we got a free for all Friday. We got Clint Lamb joining us tomorrow as well. And we look forward to seeing you guys then. Big thanks to Reed Behind the Glass. You guys tune in via Tide, via our streams, all that good stuff. We'll see you guys tomorrow right on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WT.